This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. The Federal Emergency Management Agency announced on Friday that it has extended the deadline for people affected by the October 2025 West Coast storms to apply for individual assistance to April 3rd. The deadline applies to individual assistance applications through FEMA, the state, and for federal Small Business Administration loans. This is the second extension of a deadline initially set for December 2025 that would have expired on Friday. FEMA says it has so far approved $36 million in federal individual assistance for 2,084 households. Federal disaster assistance provides up to $42,500 for home repairs and up to $42,500 for other items. State assistance can cover certain things not covered by federal assistance, including subsistence camps. To apply for individual assistance before the April 3rd deadline, visit disasterassistance.gov or call the FEMA Alaska Call Center at 866-342-1699. Apply for state assistance at ready.alaska.gov. In Bethel, apply in person for all assistance at the AVCP Tuck Car Building located at 573 3rd Avenue from 10 a.m. to noon and 1 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Yupik interpreters are available. A Chivac man has been arrested and charged with felony kidnapping and multiple counts of assault. He is accused of stabbing a man, assaulting others, and evading capture in the community for a week. According to charging documents, Alaska State Troopers received a report on February 10th that Andrew Tall had stabbed a man in the face and assaulted others in the community. But troopers were not able to get to Chivac for 3 days because of bad weather. When they finally did, they weren't able to find and arrest the 23-year-old. Meanwhile, Chivac's Public Safety Department put out a call on social media for information about Tall's whereabouts. And early last Wednesday, Tall turned himself in to a village police officer, according to troopers. Tall has been charged with 5 counts of felony assault, 1 count of kidnapping, and 1 count of misdemeanor assault for alleged crimes involving 6 people, including a minor. Tall is currently being held at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Correctional Center in Bethel. A preliminary hearing in his case is set for March 2nd in Bethel Court. Alaska saw its 8th hottest year on record last year, with temperatures coming in a degree and a half warmer than the last 3 decades on average. That's according to a 2025 annual report released by the Alaska Climate Research Center in late January. Report author Martine Stufer is the state climatologist and a research professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Last year was a confirmation unfortunately warming our planet faster than we hope. That has implications, as I mentioned, ice melting, permafrost thawing, wildfires, changing of our environment.
Stufer highlighted dwindling sea ice as a top line issue. That's because Alaska's sea ice peaked in March at around 14 million square kilometers. That's bigger than the entire United States, but it's also the lowest sea ice peak recorded in the last 50 years.
It's a big area, but still, it was smaller than in any year observed before. We are heading towards ice-free Arctic later this century.
The report emphasizes that the northern parts of the state are warming most rapidly, with the interior and north slope showing the largest increases from normal temperatures. Ukiagvik recorded the highest relative temperatures. Southeast Alaska, meanwhile, had a near-average annual temperature last year, but far less snow than is typical. Juneau received just half its average snowfall in 2025 due to frequent midwinter rain and snowmelt. Stufer noted that while Alaska in general saw warmer temperatures, it also endured other extreme weather events like wildfire activity, ex-typhoon Halong, and an intense, widespread December cold snap.
I had one person asking me, are we heading into an ice age now? Of course not. We are heading into a warmer phase on a global scale.
That extreme variability across the state, he says, is becoming more common as temperatures rise with climate change. The Alaska Federation of Natives urged state lawmakers last Thursday to fix Alaska's dual fish and wildlife management system. It's a legal impasse that goes back for decades, one that has long frustrated natives who depend on hunting and fishing to put food on the table. But as KMBA's Rhonda McBride reports, there are no easy answers.
One of the challenges ahead for a legislative fix, only a handful of lawmakers are familiar with the battle over subsistence that heated up in 1980 when Congress passed the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, or ANILCA. It established a rural priority for subsistence, but that clashed with the Alaska Constitution, which forbids granting access based on where you live. So what evolved? Two different wildlife management systems, one for the state and one for federal land.
There's not going to be a silver bullet. This is going to be a long journey.
AFN co-chair Joe Nelson told the House Tribal Affairs Committee that Alaskans have become ensnared far too long in a web of litigation over state and federal laws.
We're trying to pull together everybody because it's just heartbreaking that the people on the other side of the table on these issues are Alaskans as well.
Nelson says dual management has meant dueling management for Alaskans, and no one ever wins.
And our hope is that our children and grandchildren will inherit a better system, so we feel like it is on all of us to improve the system right now.
During the hearing, Representative Justin Ruffridge, a Republican from Soldotna, acknowledged the huge learning curve ahead. He admitted he had little working knowledge of foundational legislation like the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act and terms like traditional and customary use.
I feel like I'm a subsistence user of the resource in my community, but then growing up, had a number of friends who were, I would say, traditional and customary users of the same resource, who were members of the Kenaitse tribe. The way that we used the resource was dramatically different.
Ruffridge calls the current system of overlapping jurisdictions a mess.
This is not just a first Alaskans issue. This seems to be an all Alaskans issue of how we approach this thing.
Although several state legislatures have tried repeatedly to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot to resolve the conflict, AFN has asked lawmakers to try again. AFN also plans to pursue some federal fixes, such as reopening the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, which gave Native corporations legal title to 44 million acres of land. AFN says it wants to repeal the section that extinguishes Aboriginal hunting and fishing rights and replace it with a framework that will allow Alaska Natives to control hunting and fishing on Native lands, now under state wildlife management. AFN also wants to amend ANILCA to improve the federal government's subsistence management program and include protections specifically for Alaska Natives. Proposals which would not eliminate the state's dual management system, but might also create more complexity. AFN President Ben Malott says he knows these changes will be a hard sell.
It's not something we can do overnight, but it really means all of us have to be on the same page, working together to build a system that works for rural Alaska and works for our communities.
AFN's co-chair, Joe Nelson, says with the upcoming governor's election, it's important to get the conversation started now.
And whoever the next governor needs to be an expert in this type of thing. And if they're not, we need to find the governor who can be, somebody who really gets the stuff.
AFN says it's offering new ideas to make old legislation and the systems they created work better for everyone. But whether longtime advocates for states' rights and primacy over fish and game management will see it the same way remains to be seen. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganumchit coming up.